This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a great old standard of the faith and wind down this week's installments in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green, today continuing in chapter 13. But just before Dr. Green speaks today, let's enjoy some beautiful music and then Dr. Green.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad.
Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Now, gracious Heavenly Father, honor thy word as we study thy word today. Speak to the heart who needs to be born again, especially church members who have united with the church, but they've never been saved by God's grace. Save souls today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Yesterday, I read Acts 13, 44, right on down through verse 49, and I emphasized in verse 46 the words of Paul when he said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, I realize that some precious people did not fully appreciate what I said yesterday about the gospel going to anyone, to everyone, on the same basis in this day of grace. Beloved, there is no difference. There is no difference. In Ephesians, Paul declared that it is no longer Greek or barbarian, or Jew, or Gentile. We're one. We're one in Christ. And Paul said that God ordained and Jesus called him and anointed him to preach this gospel of salvation to the ends of the earth. That is the commission today. And I'm not duty bound to send the gospel to one man before I send it to another man. I mentioned yesterday one outstanding minister who is a missionary minded minister and has done more for missions, I think, than probably any living man today, individual, I mean. He made the statement, why should anyone hear the gospel two times until everyone has heard the gospel one time? I wish it were possible for me to sit at a microphone today and preach this gospel to every Jew, Gentile, millionaire, pauper on the face of the earth. I wish it was my privilege. I wish I could have the privilege of telling this grand and glorious message to the ends of the earth and to every individual upon the face of the earth. Now then, I want you to turn, please, to Romans chapter 11, and let's see what Paul, if you think Paul was against his people, if you think Paul was speaking against his people, and if you think I am, then you're just wrong, that's all. Now, in Romans 11 and verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Paul said, has God cast away Israel? No, sir. No, sir, God has not. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. You see, Paul knew who he was from the human standpoint, and he knew who he was from the spiritual standpoint. He said, I know that I am a child of Abraham. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Then he said, I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus. I know Abraham, and I know Jesus. I know who I am. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. No, God hadn't cast him away. If you look at the Scofield note on page 1205 in the Scofield Bible, you'll notice that in Elijah's time, there were 7,000 who had not bowed their knee to Baal. In Isaiah's time, there was a very small remnant. And then during the captivity, there were Jews like Ezekiel, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Esther, and Mordecai, and others, of course. And at the end of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, there was a remnant under Ezra and Nehemiah. They went back to the Holy Land. Then when Jesus came, John the Baptist, Simeon, Anna, and those who looked for the redemption of Jerusalem and so on, there was a remnant. And now during this church age, right now, in the day of grace, there is a remnant. There is a remnant. I'll read it in just a moment. Listen, in verse 3, we read concerning Elijah. He said, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, they have digged down thine altars. I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Now, I just read that God showed Elijah that he had 7,000 hadn't bowed their knee to Baal, but he thought he was the only one left. But what saith the answer of God unto him? Now, watch it. I have reserved unto myself 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal, to the image of Baal. Now, God has always, listen, let me say this today, Israel, I'm talking about spiritual Israel. I'm talking about the Israel of God's grace, the election, the people whom God ordained in the Old Testament to be the apple of his eye, the chosen nation, the chosen people. I want to say to you, my friend, they will never disappear from this earth. There has always been a remnant. There always will be. But today it is not. It is not that we should preach the gospel to any nationality before we preach it and as we preach it to all nationalities, in the words of Paul in Acts 13, to the ends of the earth. Now watch this next verse. Even so then, at this time, this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a remnant in this day of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Now watch it. Then it is no more works if it's grace. Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more work. Now, beloved, in this day of grace, the Jew, the Gentile, the rich, the poor, the bond, the free, the white, the black, the yellow, the red, it doesn't make any difference. A person is, nationality doesn't make any difference. We are saved by God's grace. I spent 2 or 3 days ago, we spent an entire broadcast on the grace of God. It was God's grace that caused Jesus or allowed Jesus to come. By the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2:9, by God's grace. And it was God's grace that anointed the Apostle Paul, the minister to the Gentiles, in verse 13 of this chapter. We'll read it in just a moment. It's God's grace that saves us. It's God's grace that teaches us. And this is the dispensation of the grace of God, Paul said to the Ephesians. Now let's read verse 7. What then? What has happened? What has happened? Now, I read yesterday, Jesus sent out the 12, and he said, do not go to the Greeks, do not go to the Samaritans, do not go to the Gentiles, you go to the lost sheep. The Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, and Jesus said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." Jesus was that bread. John 6, Jesus was the bread that came down from heaven. But today the bread is for Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, bond, or free. Whosoever will, let him eat. Whosoever will, let him drink. So we read again. Now watch it. What has happened? What then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now what on earth does that mean? That means that the nation of Israel has been blinded, but there is a remnant in the nation who are not blinded. They are in the grace of God. They are the remnant. The nation has not found what it sought and is still seeking, but there is a remnant in the nation that have found the Messiah. And I'm speaking to some of those precious Israelites right now. I've seen a few saved in my meetings in the past 32 years that I've been doing evangelistic work in churches, tents, and tabernacles, and warehouses, and auditoriums across the nation. I've seen a few saved, but there are some listening to me right now, and it would be interesting to get a letter from born-again Jews who are members of the election of grace. It'd be wonderful to hear, to have a testimony. Now listen to this. According as it is written, I'm reading verse 8, this is Romans 11, 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. But there are some that hear, there are some that receive, that is, the remnant, the election of grace. Now let's read on. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And one day, beloved, one day, the nation Israel will be the paradise. I mean, it'll be the Garden of Eden of this world. Now, that's right, and it's in the Scripture. And regardless of these men and women who teach that the English-speaking people are Israel, we're not Israel, beloved. Born-again people are members of the Bride of Christ, the New Testament church, and it's nothing but spiritual robbery and spiritual thieving to steal the promises that God made to Abraham and give them to the church. Now you mark it down. Israel will be revived, and the nation will become more glorious than it ever was in the Old Testament era. I'm talking about the nation Israel. Regardless of what people say, regardless of what preachers preach, and regardless of what anybody thinks, the nation Israel, its best days is yet to come. Now read on. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. See? Save some of them. Now back in chapter 10, Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And going about to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted themselves. The righteousness of God for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And that's in Romans 10, 1 through 4. Then we go on down and he cries out that if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, God will save us. Now, Paul's desire, Paul's burning desire, and his heart was crushed and broken for his own people. They were zealous, they had a zeal, they had religion, but they did not know their Messiah. They did not receive Jesus. They thrust him from them. I read it yesterday. They thrust the Word, and Jesus was the Word in flesh. Now, I would never know, I'm not worthy to shine Paul's sandals. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. If he were here today, I wouldn't be worthy to hold his coat. I mean that. God knows my heart. You don't. You don't know my heart. God does. I wouldn't be worthy to carry his sandals. Don't you ever think that I'm associating myself with the Apostle Paul, that is, comparing my ministry to his. I'm not. Now, he had a broken heart for his people because they were religious but lost. Let me tell you something. I'm an American. I was born in America. Thank God for America. I wouldn't trade America for the world. I wouldn't. If I owned America, and God said America's yours, and I'll give it to you, and you are the sole owner of America, every square inch of America, I wouldn't trade America for all the rest of the world with all of its riches. Never. And I'm telling you, beloved, my burden today is for America, filled with churches, millions of church members. On Sunday morning, millions pack the churches, and then they go through their religious ceremonies, and then they go back to their business, back to their home, back to their communities, to live a life of pleasure and sin, drinking, gambling, and you know it as well as I know it. My heart's desire and prayer to God for America is that America be saved. America has a zeal for God, but not according to Bible knowledge. America has a zeal for God according to religious leaders. But beloved, it's not according to religious leaders, it's according to the Word of God. It's according to knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the only place to get Bible answers for Bible questions is in the Bible. Now, if you believe the Bible, you believe that. If you don't believe the Bible, I can't help you, and I say it very humbly. Not only can I not help you, God can't help you. The only way God can help you is through His Word. Now, the Word of God is God's message to you. Read on. David said, let their table be a snare. Paul said, I'm a minister to the Gentiles. Then he goes on down and here's what he said. For, this is verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now, the day is coming, beloved, when the nation Israel will be saved. Saved as a nation. Saved as a people. The remnant. The election. Now read on. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. You remember when Jesus cut down the fig tree, and in spite of what some outstanding Bible scholars say today, the fig tree is still a type of Israel. Oh yes, Jeremiah 24 proves it beyond any shadow of doubt. The fig tree in the Bible is a type of Israel in the Old Testament, and of course in the New in Matthew 24 and other places. Now, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, beloved, when he cut it down, it was cut off at the ground. The roots were not disturbed. The roots were not disturbed. There are many trees, many, many trees. If you chop them down level with the ground, they'll sprout again. One day, brother, regardless of what anybody has to say about it, Israel will become the grand and glorious nation that God promised Abraham it would be. But Paul told him, and I read it in Acts 13. That's where we are now, in Acts 13. Paul said, you're the one. You thrust the Word of God from you, and you didn't count yourself worthy of everlasting life. You were presented the gospel first. Jesus came to you. John the Baptist announced your king. Your king appeared. Your king offered you the kingdom. Your king offered you himself. You thrust him from you. You thrust the Word from you. And then he called his 12 disciples. He sent them to you. He sent the 70 to you. And he sent the gospel to you. But you thrust the Word from you. You did it. You counted yourself unworthy. In John, Jesus said, you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures. You search the Word of God. In the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. But the scriptures testify of me. Then Jesus said, you will not come to me that you might have life. Now watch this, and I must hurry. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, see? Now, Jesus cut the tree down to the ground, but we are grafted to the roots. Now, you listen to me. When Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, he said in John 4, salvation is of the Jews. And don't you forget that. You can't do a thing about that. That's God Almighty's infallible word, and you cannot alter it. Your part will be taken out of the book of life and the tree of life. You'll die in your sins and burn in hell if you mess with God's word. You can't tamper with God's word and get away with it. Now, the Syrophoenician woman said, our father said this mountain. The Jews say Jerusalem. Now, you see, she said, what do you say? Jesus said, you know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, salvation is of the Jews. Now, Jesus Christ came, as was prophesied, from Genesis to Malachi. He came born of a virgin. And from the earthly standpoint, that is, from the aspect of the flesh, David, through the lineage of David, God promised Abraham in Genesis 12. He said, get up and get out, and I'll bless you, and I'll make you a blessing. And in you all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. And through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, right on down, Jesus was born of the Jews. You can't deny it. They rejected him. They thrust him from them. And of course, the gospel message turned to the Gentiles. Let me read this. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Oh yeah, the root bears you. You're not bearing the root, but the root bears you. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief. Yes, because of unbelief. They would not come to Jesus that they might have life. Unbelief. They thrust the word from them. They didn't believe the word. They didn't believe Jesus. Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father in me. The Father sent me. I am the bread of life. They didn't believe it, so they were broken off. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, look out, take heed, lest ye oughtn't to spare thee. Now watch it, brother. If God broke off the natural branches, watch out, Gentiles. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Now, watch it. Verse 25, my time's running out. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Don't be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, let's go back quickly to Acts 13. And what did Paul say? Paul said, you thrust the word from you. So God sent us to the Gentiles that this message of salvation should be preached to the ends of the earth. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, it is no longer to the Jew first, or to the Gentile first, or to the Indian first, or to the Mexican first, or to the Russian first, or to the German first. This message is to be published to each person, regardless of their nationality. The Word of God is to be preached to the ends of the earth. What are you doing? What are you giving? How are you living to get this message to every individual upon the face of the earth? Father, honor thy word, the name of Jesus, the shed blood, save souls, bless believers, encourage the discouraged, strengthen the weak. For Jesus' sake, save the soul that's nearest hell. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and in the few minutes I have left to share time with you, I would like to spend that time telling you about our gift offer I. We put this offer together with thoughts of Easter in mind. It's just around the corner, a wonderful season to celebrate, and I wanted to make this offer special with that in mind. Now, it has three books, one by my dad, one by my mother, and one by a great man of God who lived many, many years ago that my dad admired as a preacher and teacher. And all of this is available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $20 or more. Please send more if you can when you ask us to send you our gift offer I, or the Easter offer. And I know many of you like to order several sets of our offers to share with others. And of course, you may do so in this offer. All I ask is that you tell me how many sets of offer I that you order, and please enclose a donation of at least $20 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you first a book by Dr. A.C. Dixon entitled Heaven on Earth. If you've never heard of this man, you need to look him up and read a little about him. He was a great thinker and teacher of God's Word, and this is no exception. Heaven on Earth is 119 pages long, a hardback book containing 13 chapters. And I know you will be blessed as you read and study each chapter. Then we have Heavenly Pearls of Truth, written by my mother. Actually, it's a collection of 12 articles that we have gone back through the Gospel Hour News newspapers and pulled these out. She had a message and article each month in the Gospel Hour News, and these are 12 of what we feel like are the best ones. A perfect bound book, 141 pages long. Finally, Glimpses of Heaven. Now again, we have assembled this book, a perfect bound book, 164 pages long, containing 5 sermons by my dad about heaven. He was a great speaker and a great student of the Bible, and I know you'll enjoy this book as you read it. Glimpses of Heaven. So, to get all 3 books by my dad, my mom, and Dr. Dixon, just ask for Gift Offer I and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.